Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T from Portland, Oregon. And you know what? In Portland, Oregon right now, it's like about 52 degrees. It's sunny. It's kind of on the chilly side, but it's a sunny, chilly fall day. Hey, I sound like a weather reporter, huh? But anyway, it's beautiful here, and I hope it's beautiful where you are. And thank you for joining us again, the Gift of Life show. Hey, I'm going to continue my series on the prodigal son or the tale of the two sons, however you want to see it, the father's love, but it's from Luke 15, and I'm on 6. This is number 6, possibly 6A and maybe a 6B, and I should conclude on number 7. And if you missed any of them, go back to lovebyexample.com. Click on Gift of Life Show, and you'll see the archives right there. So we're in Luke 15, and the last time that we finished with kind of wrapping up and doing a summary of the oldest or the elder son response towards his brother coming home after being lost and then found. And so, but I want to start with some verses here and just kind of set the stage here a little bit. In Proverbs 29:18, from the Message Bible, it says, "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." 2 Corinthians 4:4, "Whose mind God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glories of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." And I love this one, Romans 10:3-4. "For not knowing about God's righteousness, which is based on faith, and seeking to establish their own righteousness based on works, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law. It leads to him, and its purpose is the fulfillment in him, for granting righteousness to anyone who believes in him as Savior." And then remember, Luke 18:9-14. We won't go a lot in that, but that's about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee assumed that his righteousness, his acceptance with God, was based on his action, whereas the tax collector recognized that there was nothing that he had within himself that would cause God to be approved of him. And so I'm focusing now on the elder son's attitude about his younger brother coming home. And this parable story, it's beautiful because you'll really see all kinds of characters in it. You can see if you take an honest look, you'll be able to even see yourself in there. Like if you're a believer, the prodigal son is a good reminder and a humble reminder of how much we owe to this divine grace and this favor that the Father has given us as born again believers. And that owing, not working for it, but loving him and serving him, and being willing to do whatever he has called us to do. For the sinner, it's a reminder that you need to repent, and that the Father is eagerly waiting for you, no matter what your sins were in the past, no matter what you've done today. If you don't know Christ Jesus, and you want to come to God, you all you have to do is admit it, and repent, and come home, and the Father is there to greet you. It's what this whole story is about. And then the elder brother, which we're going to look at today. Here's the elder brother. Now, this brother put on a pretense, saw himself as being respectable and basically self-righteous. And he thought that that was a valid substitute of, "Hey, I'm here, so you got to like me, Father, and look at all what I do," as a substitute of redemption. And that was a major masquerade over what was really happening inside his heart, as we will see as the story unfolds. But whatever case, wherever you might see yourself, the joy of the Father's love, God's love, was receiving all these different people when they repented and turned from their sins. Those that didn't, and they hardened their heart, they missed out. So basically, we left last time about the father tenderly addressing his older son. And in verse 31, he says, and corrects his thinking. He corrects his thinking. And he's letting him know, look, this is your brother. Look at this, verse 31. He says, and he said to him, son, this is what he said to the older brother, who was angry because the father was giving him a celebration and a party when he came home. Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. Isn't that something? All that you have is yours. All that I have is yours. So he says, why don't you come and celebrate? But the fact that he didn't want to come and celebrate showed that he had a self-righteous, self-judgmental attitude towards his brother and his father. And the older brother's focus was on himself, self-righteous. And we talked about that self-righteousness and then what Jesus said about that. He called them blind guides in Matthew 23 and pronounced a judgment on this hypocrisy. And this is why I read these verses opening up, that those who can't see what God is doing, can't see the Father's love, they are blind. And they're blind by the enemy to keep them from seeing the love of God. So self-righteousness, thinking that you're better than anybody else, like that tax collector in that Pharisee story, where the Pharisee said he went to church basically to pray to himself and to tell God how good he was. Let's see if I can find it here. And he says, God is talking in Luke 18. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others. I mean, good grief. And this is what this older son is doing. He is upset. He is mad because he felt like his dad was wrong to celebrate and have joy for his brother's arrival coming home. And so he was so consumed. See, this older brother felt like you shouldn't be celebrating and being nice to him and loving on him. You should be giving him justice and equality and condemning him for all the things that he failed to do as his brother and as his son. And so he wanted to see him suffer. He didn't want to see him have a party. But see, this older brother, he failed to see and realize that anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Scriptures say whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. That's 1 John 2:9-11. And that's what the enemy Satan does. He wants to blind people today. He wanted to blind them in all eternity. He wants to blind people if he could. He wants to blind people from seeing the glorious gospel of God's love. And this is what he did with this son. Unfortunately, this is what he did. And he does it today to so many people. Do not realize that everything that God has is yours, just by you believing who he says he is and what you need to do to be accepted by him. Oh my gosh. The older son allowed anger to take root in his heart to the point that he is unable to see and show compassion towards his brother. And for that matter, he was unable to forgive. Isn't that something to forgive? And this goes right back, which makes me think of Cain, how Cain was angry with his brother. But there's a verse in Hebrews. If you are harboring anger, resentment, or bitterness, you need to go and look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Maybe we'll just read that together here. Okay, let's go back there. If you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Or if you're listening and you're driving in a car, keep driving. Don't read, but listen to this and read it when you get home. But look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. Now remember, I said what grace was. Grace is the unmerited favor that God gives you, his imputed righteousness. When you're born again and as you continue to live down here on earth, it's his grace or God's riches at Christ's expense, living by faith, seeing by faith, not from the five sense realm, not from an objective point of view only, but from a subjective point of view, from a spiritual, invisible, holy point of view. He says, seeing, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up, causes trouble, and by this may become defiled. See that? When you are bitter, when you are resentful, when you are holding grudges, what happens is this seed that comes from the enemy, because that's where it comes from. You have to realize that is coming from the enemy. When the seed of that bitterness, and you allow it to stay there year, month, week, whatever, it just stays and lingers with you. You can remember exactly what everybody did against you and how you felt. When you allow that to hang in there and it becomes like part of your identity, like this brother, now anger springs up. It says, Cain killed his brother because he was angry. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, he says, it's not about you killing people. It's about you even thinking about being angry and bitter. It will cause trouble. And trouble means it will cause trouble in your spiritual life, in your mental life, and in your physical life. Because everything we think and say and do begins with a thought. And thoughts have powers. They're containers of power. Proverbs 18:20. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love will eat its fruits. So negative toxic thinking and you believing it and meditating on it, it's going to affect your thinking, it's going to affect your emotions, and it's going to affect your decisions, and it's going to affect your brain and your body in a negative way. And this is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, to renew your mind quickly and identify these things and repent and change and let the Father heal you. But this son preferred to nurse his anger like so many people do today. Many people today, they just nurse their anger. They talk about it. When I say nurse it, what do I mean? They talk about it over and over and over. They call people and tell them the same old story to somebody else. And what they're doing, instead of them taking responsibility of their power to choose, which most believers don't do, and this is what we're all about, do you see what I see in my book, and the four P's, is to take responsibility, take back the power of choice that God has given you, this beautiful gift, and choose life instead of death. Choose life instead of death. Death just means separation from the life of God. And you could be eternally dead forever, physically dead, and that's part of the physical being death, or you can be spiritually dead, where you're still alive, but you're walking in death because you're not connected to God. You're trying to do things your way. So therefore, you're putting all your trust in your self-righteousness, thinking, why do I need Jesus? Why do I need God? I got a home, I got a house, I got money, I got food. Why do I need him to help me do anything? I do it myself. That's self-righteousness. And this is what this elder brother was plagued by. He was consumed with anger and bitterness and malice and even hatred, hating his dad for as good as he was. When his dad said, look, everything I have is yours. You should come and celebrate with us. But he refused to come. He wanted to enjoy his anger. And you know, I learned from Dr. Lee. She says that people, believers and unbelievers, can get addicted to negative stimuluses. A lot of people are laying in their bed of bitterness, their bed of anger, their bed of self-pity, to where they think that's all there is. It's everybody else's fault because they don't realize that your environment is not what controls you. It's toxic thoughts or God's thoughts that you get to choose to who you want to control you. That's what Romans 6 is all about. As psychologists without God and philosophers without God and scientists without God, people that want to try to tell you how we operate and work, they want to say it's our environment that what causes us to have these kind of experiences and why we're the jerk that we are. But that's not true. We're not victims. God has created us in his image, and he has called us out of darkness into his light so we can experience the love that he wants us to experience to bless others. And this is what this is a picture about, the Father's love calling both of these sons home. The brother his elder brother chose to not celebrate his younger brother's return, and he saw it as a threat, as I talked about earlier. He saw it as a threat to his inheritance because he thought, well, after all, why should I share with this brother that squandered all the inheritance, and now my dad's throwing this party for him, and he's probably using my inheritance on this wayward brother. So you see, there's really no love being celebrated here with this elder brother, because he's so consumed by himself. He's so consumed about his ways, his righteousness, how he thinks things should be done. And brothers and sisters, this is all our problem. It is. I don't care how long you've been a believer, how mature you might think you are, or how many verses you know. It's a constant battle, fighting down or tearing down, or as we call here at the Bible study, waxing off and waxing on the new creation of who we are in Christ in a practical way. Because we all still struggle every day if we're aware of it. Some people are in the battle and they don't even know it, and that's even dangerous. But those that are on the front line, and when I mean on the front line, I don't mean out chasing demons and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about you're actively letting God show and reveal to you the errors of your thinking and that you are humbly coming to Him through Bible study, through prayer, hanging around with others who are actively renewing their mind in the passages, in scriptures that specifically talk about your identity in Christ and His power that you have in Him, and teaching you how to perform from that identity, that new position, and that power, and then how to stay in His presence. That's what I'm talking about. That's when the real relationship with the Father, and then you're going to love your brother, because it said in the scriptures, I read it to you in 1 John, he who says he loves God but hates his brother, he's basically a liar. That's basically it. You know, and the Lord says, how can you say you love me who you have not seen, but yet you can't love your brother who you see? So see, you just can't mix the two together. They don't mix. You either love or you hate. And you can increase your love by submitting to the Lord and receiving what He has given you and see what He wants you to do. Or you can decrease it by doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and blaming everybody else for things not going your way. You see how that works? Oh my gosh, I just thank the Lord for these scriptures. I want to just read this one to you as I conclude here, and then we'll come back on my next broadcast, and we'll just kind of do a summary of the whole, all 31 verses. Actually, yeah, 31 verses, because the last one says in verse 32, it was right that we just look at this. This is what the Father says. Praise the Lord. He says, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. He says, it was the right thing to do, son. This is the father talking to the older son who's mad at the father, mad at the son, the younger son, his brother, for having a party because he was lost and he was found now. So now the father says, look, it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother, look at that, was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Isn't that beautiful? So that's the end of that story, this parable, but I'm going to summarize it on number 7 that I'll do. But it's just beautiful to see this, that the Lord is saying, look, it is right for us to rejoice when someone is lost and they come home and they repent. It's right for us to go out and minister to people. It's right for us to continue to check ourselves, to do a self-evaluation on our check, on ourselves, and make sure that self-righteousness and judgmental attitudes and condemnation isn't being poured out of us because we're comparing ourselves with ourselves or with other people. We need to compare ourselves with what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that there is none righteous, no, not one, and we have nothing to offer Him. The only thing we can offer Him is the love that He has put within us, imputed in us, that we can, by faith, give back to Him through service. That's how we do it. We don't do it to get right with God. We're already right with God, those that are born again. But we serve Him because we're right with God. You see that difference? This is a beautiful story. This parable, I think, has got to be one of the best parables that the Lord told in the story here, because in the Gospels. It's just so relatable. Everybody that's listening and reads this, you should be able to really relate to the story about the parable of the lost son. Now the next series, I'm going to talk about the wise father and how he seeks to restore and seeks to go through this restoration with this older son and to get this whole family back together. We're going to look at that. Now, I do want to close with these verses, and I just want you to just start having this vision and start seeing and pray and ask God to open up your eyes to see, to take an honest look inside and see if there's any grudges, resentment that you have towards other people, or fears that are keeping you from making things right, or if you haven't been doing things that you know that you need to do, that God has put on your heart, or you're too afraid. Just stop for a moment and read this story and see if you find yourself anywhere in these 32 verses. Because the scriptures say, and I read it earlier and from the message, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His word, the people are unrestrained. That means they just go, you're running all over the place. You can't see where you're going. You, like I said the other day, you feel like a chicken with your head cut off. Or you're stuck like Lot's wife. And Luke 17:32, you're just stuck and frozen and just stuck in yourself. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. And what's the law of God? Christ is the end of the law. I read that. It's faith in Christ Jesus and what he's done for you. Romans 12:2 says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that beautiful? And then the flip side of that, I love that. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, casting down. So we wax on with Romans 12:2. By memorizing the scriptures, my book, I have a whole chapter 3 in performance about the three M's, memorize, meditate, and mouth it. But we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's waxing off and waxing on. And that's what we need to do. We need believers of God, children of God, need to be busy pursuing their identity by memorizing portions of scriptures. And Romans 6 is a good place to start. And Ephesians 1 is another place to start. Or come to our Bible study on Wednesday nights. We'll be glad to help you. Or call me, whatever. Get my book. Do you see what I see? But if you really want to experience the growth of Christ in you, the new you growing in you, you need to get a desire to put work, feet to your faith, and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Even if it's just 5 minutes a day, get a plan, 5 minutes a day. The key is, and we talked about last night, is consistency. The key is abiding. That's what that means. Bonding together practically who you already are in your position. That's how it works. And this son that ran away from home, he didn't stay there. He went away and squandered, but came back and was accepted. And the one that stayed there and worked it out was all religious. He basically was saying, hey, he basically wasted himself too, as far as I'm concerned, because he didn't really see the Father's love. But both extremes, God is using this to help us to see whether you're the one that ran away and left everything, or you're the one that's staying there trying to work and get something. The revelation of God's love is going to permeate and show you, you don't have to do anything. And if you did do everything wrong, God's love is unconditional. He loves you no matter where you are. And you have got to grab that, because you know, brothers and sisters, if you reject the Lord's love, you're going to die and go to hell. You'll be separated from Him. And you won't know this. And if you think you're living in a hell now, oh, you haven't seen nothing yet. Hey, I got to go. I got a song, The Eyes of Faith. I want you to see God's love through the eye of faith. Just believe His words. He loves you, and I love you too. Bye-bye.
How it looks right now, beloved, if you look through the eyes of faith, God will provide the grace you need. I wrote this little song. The Lord gave it to me right on the spot. As Lady Trina was talking, I could hear God saying, just, you can do this if you just look through the eyes of faith. Some of you are despondent. You feel like nobody cares, and you're really in this thing by yourself. But if you take your eyes off of that and look through the eyes of faith, God will begin to show you something. Listen. Through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of faith, I see God's grace. Through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of faith, I see God's grace through the eyes of faith.
Through the eyes of faith.
When you get it, just sing it.
Through the eyes of faith.
Said, I see God's grace.
I see God's grace.
Right there in
the eyes of faith.
Oh, through the eyes.
Eyes.
That's where He's going to meet you. Said, I see God's grace.
Oh,
yes.
Through the eyes of faith.
Said, I see God's grace.
Through the eyes of faith.
This is what my soul says.
My soul says, yes.
Yeah. right in the middle of it all. If you look through his eyes, you'll see it. Oh, through the eyes of faith, my soul says. Say, my soul says, give the Lord a yes tonight. Yes, tell the Lord yes, tell him yes. Hallelujah to Jesus. I can see clearly now, yes. Make no doubt about it. Through the eyes of faith. Listen, lift your faith tonight to the Lord. Through the eyes of faith, no matter how dark it may be, look, take a look, take a look, take a look, y'all. One more look, take a look. There's an answer right there. Right in the eyes, right in the eyes. Oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah. You got to activate your faith. You got to activate your faith. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But we who know the Lord, we operate in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. Anybody got any evidence? It's the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah to Jesus. You gotta look through the eyes of faith. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise tonight. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Through the eyes, said I see.